Let's look at the Word of God we're going to read from today. First from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Very first words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And now from Revelation chapter 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his word. And somebody's sure to say, what in the world does Genesis 1 and 1 and 2 and Revelation 22 and 17 and 19 have in common? How did he ever get these two divergent verses together? Well, number one, they came out of the same book. And number two, if you notice, the first one came out of the first book chapter in the Bible, and the last one came out of the last chapter in the Bible. And they have something in common with each other and with what's in between. And there's a lot of good stuff between Revelation 22 and Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that? If you're bored in life or can't find anything exciting, buddy, there's some good stuff in here. Some of it's downright X-rated. Some of it's exciting. Some of it's gory, to tell you the truth. And some of it is uplifting and will change your heart and life if you listen to it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Actually, verse 2 picks up on a disaster, doesn't it? And you say, well, what are you talking about, disaster? Well, here's the earth. The earth is here. But it's dark. There's no light. It's void. What's that mean? It's empty. There's nothing in it. And it's without form. Nothing is right about the earth. Something disastrous, terrible, has happened to planet Earth. And we pick up on it, and here it is. Here's this planet. What is its purpose? Where is it going? Why is it here? And yet it says, God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Now, think about it, folks. The scripture said, God is not the author of confusion, but of a sound mind. Now, if you look at the state of the earth in Genesis 1 and 2, you have to say, that's not the earth I live in. It certainly is not, because you couldn't live in that earth. You couldn't live in an earth that didn't have light. Not one plant would grow. Not one animal could survive. Not any human could survive. So if the earth is completely dark, something's dark in it. Either there's not a sun, or there's something blocking the light from the sun hitting the earth. But whatever's going on, the earth is in chaos. It's in a terrible situation. It has no form, it's nothing in it, and it's dark. There's no life there. There hasn't been an explosion somewhere in the aeons of time that had brought life to pass. It's there. How did it get there? Well, I can tell you. I can't tell you how, but I can tell you who. Now, I don't know, and nobody else does, by the way, I don't know what the answer is to all of the chemistry and all of the works and all of the things that went into the earth being here. But I know who created it. God in the beginning, and by the way, that's the way the Hebrew begins reading. Instead of reading in the beginning God, it says God in the beginning. And that's before there was anything, before there was any life form, before there was an angel or a cherubim or a seraphim or anything, there was God. And God is a creative God. And God created the heavens and the earth. But we pick it up somewhere in its history. And where we pick it up, it is void, dark, and without form. Nothing is working. Nothing makes life. Nothing makes sense. And you say, well, this is a hopeless case. If we were waiting on an accident in space to happen, this would be a hopeless case. If we were just waiting around for something to come off and something to happen and something to cause life forms to spring up, this would never happen. It can't happen in the situation it's in. This planet has no land. It has only gas and water. And we don't know what the water was like, how polluted it must have been, how terrible a condition it must have been in. Sometime between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, something happened. God would not have created a planet and left it in a mess. Something terrible has happened. Now, we know that in the past history of the earth and of the universe, there has been a war in the heavens. We know that angels left their first estate and ascended up to take over heaven and to take God's place. We know that because the Bible tells us so. We know that chaos ensued after the war. And yet, how is it ever going to be that anything good is going to come out of this devastated, void, dark planet that has no purpose but is meandering in the universe and looking for a place to be? I'll tell you how. The Spirit of God moved. That's a wonderful thing. If you're saying that about a service in the church, if you're saying that about a prayer meeting in your home, if you're saying that about your private prayer life at home, if you're saying that about anything, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, the Spirit of God moved. I want you to know something. Anytime God is doing something, the Spirit of God is moving. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody famous named Jesus said that, didn't he? God is a spirit. So when we say the Spirit of God moved, then God the Spirit, now God the Son had not come to earth yet. God the Father is on the throne. But God the Spirit, God says, I'm making something out of this chaos. I'm going to bring life and light out of this chaos. I'm going to bring this whole chaotic thing to a grand and glorious fulfillment of my will. And what happened? Here it is. This planet that's been destroyed, that's full of chaos, been hit maybe by asteroids being thrown by angels. I don't know. By something. And whatever happened to cause the chaos, the Spirit of God comes to move. And the words in the Hebrew that are used for the Spirit of God moving is the same words that would be used for anybody here besides me ever lived where they had chickens, little chickens in the yard and a mommy hen, maybe had a nest out there with little eggs in it, and then they hatch out and you see the little mama hen going along through the yard, and here comes all the little yellow chicks behind her, and a dog barks or a cat comes by or something terrible happens, and what does the mama hen do? She throws out those wings and ruffles up her feathers and squats down to the ground, and what happens to the little guys? They all run right under there. That's why the psalmist said he hides us under his wings. You remember that old hymn, under his wings, safely abiding? This is what the old hen does. She squats down and puts out her feathers, and the little chicks run under it, and she broods over them. She holds her arms over them. I read the story of a missionary who was in Africa, and there was a wildfire that got loose, and it was raging through the grass across the prairies of South Africa. And the people ran, and the animals ran, the deer ran, and the antelope ran, and all the animals ran to get out of the way of the fire. There were some animals that could not get out of the way of the fire. And when the fire had passed and it had cooled down, the missionary and some of the people from the mission walked out onto the plain, and as they walked out, they noticed the charred carcass of a hen. She was laying down on the ground with her wings out like this, and her feathers were all charred, and she was dead. And just idly, the missionary took his foot and kicked her charred body aside. And when he did, the little chicks were safe. She had given her life for her little chicks. And the little chicks were safe under her wings and under her body, and the fire had not touched them. That's the very word that is used for the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God hovered over the earth. The Spirit of God moved and came down and surrounded this planet and wrapped it in the love of God. And as the planet was enveloped by the wings of God and by the hovering Spirit of God, life was preserved. And out of that came life and light. You notice God doesn't the first day create a plant. You know why? They would have all died. The first thing He creates is life, so that when the plants come, it's already prepared for them. And He creates land. And up out of the darkness of those waters and that gaseous mixture that's on the earth comes the mountains and the planets. And if you look in your books of science or online, you can see that all of the plates of the earth fit together like a puzzle. And they once all were a tiny mass with gases and water around them, but now they are the Andes and the Rockies and the Appalachians and the Himalayas and all of the mountains of the world and all of the lands of the world, and they have expanded, and the oceans have gone down into the crevices and left dry land to grow and for things to appear on the earth. This is what happens when the Spirit of God moves. When the Spirit of God moves, He moves to bring light. And He moves to bring life. And He moves to bring forth something from the earth. So in Genesis 1 and 1, in the very first two verses of the scripture, the Holy Spirit appears. This is the season of Pentecost. This is the season that we remember in June, how that it was 40 days after Passover, when Christ was crucified, that His disciples were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem praying and going to the temple at the hours of prayer, which was 9 and 12 and 3 o'clock, and they were praying. And as one day they were praying, something happened. The Spirit of God moved, because you see, God had been in the world watching and looking for the needs of the people. Just 33 years before that, the Spirit of God had once again moved. And you say, He did? What did He do? What did He do 33 years before this? Well, there was a world that needed a Savior. There was a world where men and women and boys and girls were dying, lost and undone without God, and going to torment. And God loved the world. God loved the world so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son. And you say, how in the world did the Son of God ever get from the portals of glory to the squalor of this earth? How did He make that transition? I'll tell you how. There was a virgin girl named Mary in a little squatty town called Nazareth on the side of a mountainside in northern Israel. And to that house there came the angel Gabriel with a wondrous announcement, an announcement that God's Son was going to be born to Mary. And Mary said, I don't see how that can be, because I'm not married. I don't have a man. And He said, oh, He'll be born of a virgin, and you'll be a virgin. And she said, but how can that be? He said, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is going to move. You see, when God is going to bring forth life and light, His Spirit moves. And the Spirit of God moved all over the universe, down through the countless eons of space, and landed in that little bitty town called Nazareth, into the womb of the Virgin Mary, and filled her with life and with light. And Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, Because the Spirit of God, yes, the same Spirit that had hovered over the earth to bring forth light and life in the beginning, that same Spirit had come to the earth and had created life. You say, but that's impossible. There has to be a sperm and an egg. It's impossible for Mary to have a baby. How could she ever have a baby when she doesn't have a man? Because God said so. And the Spirit of God moved across the universe to Mary's womb and created the Lord Jesus Christ. 33 years later, Satan's hordes howled with glee in hell. All over the earth, the devils danced. You know why? Because that Son of God that was born of the Virgin Mary had died on a cross. Men of evil intent had falsely accused him, tortured him, pulled his hair from his face, beat his back with the rods, thrashed him with whips, and ultimately hung him on the cross and drove a spear into his side. They had taken him down from the cross and laid him in a solid rock tomb in Jerusalem and rolled a heavy stone to the face of it and put a guard of 4 Roman soldiers around the clock to guard that tomb that nobody stole it away. And the body of the Savior was laying dead in the tomb. And everybody's going to say, oh, that was a big day for the devil. Well, it was. He danced with glee and the devils of hell jumped up and down with joy. But my friend, on the third day after he went in, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God went into the tomb and Jesus Christ came to life. And the angel pushed the stone back and he stepped out and life and light had come out. Why? Because the Spirit of God had moved. And 40 days later, 50 days from Passover, but 40 days after that, my friend, there was this day in Jerusalem and they were all talking about it. They were all gathering. Every day they went to the temple 3 times to pray. And every day the 120 met in the upper room and they prayed. And at 9:00 in the morning, the Spirit of God moved. Isn't it wonderful when God moves in a prayer meeting? At 9:00 in the morning, the Spirit of God moved across the universe just like it had moved over the earth to bring forth life, just like it had moved over the Virgin Mary to bring forth life, just like it had moved over the tomb of the Lord Jesus to bring forth life. This band of Galileans, fishermen, tax collectors, women and outcasts, people who had been possessed with demons, people who had come a mighty long way, were in that room praying and seeking the face of God because he said, wait here until you be endued with power from on high. And as they waited at 9:00 in the morning, on that first Pentecostal morning, what happened? The Spirit of God moved. God was doing a new and a wonderful thing. Not only could he bring forth a new life from an old chaotic planet, not only could he bring forth new life from a virgin's womb, not only could he bring forth life from a dead body in a tomb, but he could go into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, people of every nation, kindred, and tongue, people of every place on earth could now have God himself, the Holy Spirit, in their heart. And he moved across the universe and into the hearts of Mary Magdalene and Mary the Mother of Christ and Peter and James and John and all of those who were gathered together praying. And on that day, 3,000 people were added to the church and baptized. And on that day, the church was born. Out of dead, sorry, failed humanity came a new and a living organism called the Church of the Living God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, against whom the gates of hell could never prevail. That was brought forth because what? The Spirit moved. God's Spirit came and they heard him coming. They were having a prayer meeting. Somebody said, oh, listen, the wind's blowing. They could hear the wind blowing. And somebody said, look, it's fire. And there was fire in the air. And the fire split up and set on every one of their heads. And they all began to prophesy and pray and glorify God and speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They were actually speaking languages they did not know nor had ever known. People from Galilee who were relatively uneducated, who did not know a whole lot about the things in this world, those people were speaking in multiple languages from around the world. And as they spoke in those languages, they preached the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God again had moved. And somebody's going to say, oh, do you think the Spirit of God's ever going to move again? Do you think there ever will be a move of the Spirit of God? The mightiest move of the Spirit of God that's ever been is coming. And you say, where's it coming? Well, it's coming to Birch Lawn and to Fairview and over to the Appalachian Conference of the Pentecostal Holiness Church Campground Cemetery and to Deaton Cemetery up here on the hill. You say, the Spirit of God's going to move in the graveyard? The Spirit of God is coming across the universe, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. Because Paul said, hallelujah, that same Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead will one day also quicken, that is, make alive, our own bodies, our own mortal human bodies. One day we'll live again. You say, oh, preacher, you don't really believe. While your grandma's been dead for years, both of them, you don't believe they're going to live again? I certainly do. I certainly believe that one day in the resurrection morning, all the dead in Christ shall rise and they'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. They'll have a new life, glorified with Him forever. Death will be lost in victory. We'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. We'll have a new life. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Isn't that... Pat Boone sang a song and said, isn't that great good news? That's the best news you ever heard. The Spirit of God moved and brought life out of a chaos planet. The Spirit of God moved and brought life after Calvary. And the Spirit of God moved and brought life into the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Spirit of God moved and brought life into the Christians on the day of Pentecost. But my friend, I'm waiting one more time for the Spirit to move. You see, oh, we're going to have a revival, one like you've never seen. They're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west. They're going to get up out of their graves and they're going to holler, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. And they're coming up, my friend. They're coming up with victory and joy. Mausoleums are going to be opened and graves are going to be emptied. And my friend, dead people who haven't lived for years, bodies, spirits will come with Him from heaven and they will inhabit their resurrected, glorified bodies once again. We subscribe to the Apostles' Creed. It's in our bylaws. And that ancient creed that people said, this is what I believe, said, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. How many of you say, I believe in the resurrection of the dead? Amen. Amen. My friend, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a move of the Spirit. So we have covered just now from Genesis 1, 1 and 2 to Revelation 22, 17 and 19. What's happening in the end? The Spirit's speaking. When it comes down to the very end, all of the armies have marched. The beasts have come up out of the land and out of the sea and marched across the pages of history. I look back and I can see the population of the world as John saw it, as an ocean that was turbulent and had storms on it, and all of the terrible things that happened in the Revelation, all of the plagues and the sorrowfulness of man and the sorriness of man, if you please. My friend, at the end of it, the Spirit of God is still there and He's saying, come. The Spirit of God is pleading with human beings to come and to be filled with His presence. The Spirit of God is pleading for you to come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And who can come? Whosoever will can come. No one's predestinated to be lost. I challenge anybody from Brother Calvin over in Switzerland all the way down to today. I challenge anybody to find any scripture in the Bible where it says anyone is predestinated to be lost. He has predestinated those who will. Whosoever will come. And He has predestinated that if we will come, we have a home in heaven. He's predestinated if we will come, that He will raise us with victory on that glorious resurrection morning. Mahalia Jackson used to sing in that great getting up morning, fare thee well, my friend. I used to rejoice in that. I thought she was the end of all singing when I was a little boy, and somebody brought me a 33 and a third RPM record. Remember them? Yeah, young people, they used to be that big around. And they brought me a Mahalia Jackson and long play album, and she was singing, in that great getting up morning, my friend, it's coming. It's not just a figment of some songwriter's imagination. My friend, He's coming. And when He comes, He's going to resurrect the dead. The Spirit of God is going to move. And you think, well, that was something bringing chaos out of that planet. That was tremendous going into the womb of the Virgin. That was wonderful going into the tomb of Christ. That was great on the day of Pentecost. But my friend, think about it. Every single human being who has ever lived, who is saved, a number that no man can number, as the sands of the sea, are going to live again. In fact, every human being that ever lived is one day going to live again, some in the resurrection of the just and some in that of the unjust. And in that day when we stand before Him, every knee will bow. Won't that be a wonderful sight? And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father Almighty. Isn't that going to be a great day? Oh, there's coming a day when no sorrow shall come, no more sickness, no more pain, no more farting over there. Won't that be wonderful? Oh, we'd sing sometimes, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with our heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there, my friend? And just think about it. I'll have a new voice in that day and a new larynx and can sing. And I can sing to the glory of God. And I look forward to the countless ages to come when the Spirit of God is going to move one more time. And when He moves, we're coming up out of the ground, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, saved and sanctified and going up in glory. Hallelujah. Would you give God a hand for the movement of His Spirit? Amen. Hallelujah. And my friends, He wants to move in your life. Right now. He wants to move in your home right now. He wants to move with you as you go to your business right now. He wants to be with you and to give you the victory that you need. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You today for the message from the Word of God. I thank You, Father, that we've been blessed to know the truth, that we've known the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. And, oh Lord, You've been so good to us. I thank You for every time Your Spirit has moved, even a leaf in the yard or my little finger. But I thank You most of all, Father, that You moved to bring this dead man out of sin and ungodliness into the light of the gospel. Now, Lord, convict our hearts. Fill us with praise. Fill us with joy. And let the Spirit of God move upon us, Father, to give us the blessing that You need. Heavenly Father, these favors and blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.